بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, last week we were discussing a very important bayan, and that was that we have a physical condition and a spiritual condition. And these are the two conditions Allah Ta'ala has sent us into this world with. One is with or pertaining to the body, and the other with the soul. And we mentioned that the more important component, the more important one, the main component was that of the soul. And therefore we gave examples. In fact, this is the bayan of Mawlana Salim Durrat Sahib, Tamul Barakatuhum, which I explained last week, and in which he says that a person, when he passes away, for example, we see Ismail has passed away, or Ismail is gone, but his body is lying in front of us. So what is meant? That his soul has now left this world and is gone to the hereafter. So the soul is the main component, and we gave examples to this, like a person has a jewelry box in which there is jewelry. The jewelry is the most important thing, not the box. Yes, the box is important that it preserves the jewelry. It is a place of safekeeping in which the jewelry is contained. But the main component is the jewelry. The box without the jewelry has no real value. And therefore, the ruh is in the body, and the ruh is the most important aspect. And the body is merely transferring the ruh from one realm to the other realm. Then we gave the example of an envelope in which there are pounds or dollars or rands, and we have sent that overseas. The envelope that is just protecting this money that is inside it. If the envelope gets slightly stained or slightly damaged, there's no real problem with that as long as the money is not damaged. The money must not get lost. So when a person receives the envelope, he opens it and he takes the money out, then he discards the envelope. He throws it away. Then we mention after that these two conditions, we have these two conditions, and therefore there are two types of needs. The physical needs of the body are two. That is to keep the body away from harmful things, and number two, to provide beneficial things for it. So a person requires, his physical body requires some things that are going to be beneficial for it to keep the body. And so the body has to be kept away from harmful things, and it has to be provided with beneficial things. Now for these two things, Allah has kept some urge within the person. He has a carnal urge, and he has a carnal power, and he has the power of anger. These two in itself, they're important. Without a carnal urge, carnal power, a person gets married, then how is he going to get children if he's got no carnal desire? So in itself, a carnal power is important. In itself, a power of anger is important. If somebody is attacking you, how are you going to defend yourself if you don't have any anger within you? Your family is going to be hurt. They are going to be attacked. So the anger that you have and the carnal desire that you have, these two in itself, there is nothing wrong in having this. In itself, it is good, it is beneficial, so long as there is a balance kept within the person. He must not exceed the limits in his carnal power, nor in his power of anger. If there is, if he exceeds the limits in either way, whether it's regarding his carnal desires, in other words, he's now becoming such that he's becoming more greedy in his carnal desires, and now he's going to he's committing zina and things like that, but now he's exceeded the limit. Similarly, anger also, now he's giving vent to anger in those places which is not permissible for him. So now he has exceeded the limits. When this happens, when there's a exceeding in the limits as far as the person's carnal power is concerned and power of anger, then his intellect, his aqal, will not be able to produce the correct result. There'll be a deficiency in his aqal. And when there's a deficiency in his aqal, he won't do the correct thing. He won't say the correct thing. He won't be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the summary of all what we explained last week is that Allah has given us these two powers, the carnal power and the power of anger. These two, if there's a balance in it, then automatically the intellect is kamil, it is perfect. then the person will say the correct thing, he'll do the correct thing, he'll obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An imbalance in this will cause a person not to think correctly, not to do the right thing, and he will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Mawlana then continues and he says that when this is the imbalance of this powers, if these powers exceed the limit of moderation, a person now becomes spiritually sick. So if these powers exceed the limit of moderation, there must be moderation in both these powers. If a person exceeds the limit, then he is spiritually sick. Now he has to worry about acquiring treatment. Like in the dunya, a person is sick, he goes to the doctor. If he has a minor physical ailment, treatment can take place at home also. The doctor will prescribe some medication, whatever, or he, over the, telephonically, he'll just, you know, just take this, take that. But if it's a major illness, he has to go to the doctor who will then send him to the hospital. So now he goes to this hospital and he's under the care of a doctor. And then in exact the same way, the spiritual doctor will have the person for his spiritual sickness. One has to get treated under supervision of a spiritual doctor. And if the sickness is very severe, sometimes, like how he has to stay in the hospital for a long period, doctor puts him into a hospital, he's admitted into hospital, and they say, no, you'll be in ICU. And people, the person might think maybe 1 day or 2 days, the doctor is not too happy with the results, he's, you know, one more day. So just like that, for spiritual sickness, a person has to see a spiritual doctor, and he has to be under his care, observation, and like how the spiritual masters of the past, and sometimes perhaps in our country also, they may have some khankas in which the spiritual doctor will keep the sick person who is spiritually sick now under his observation and care, and for a period of time until the spiritual ailment is not removed from him, then he will not give him permission to leave. Okay, if there is no khanka, then at least there are some programs that are taking place of ulama, mashayikh. Then by sitting in those programs, now a person is spiritually sick, and these ailments are discussed, and the ilaj, the remedy to these ailments. But of course, as Imam Allah explained later on, how important is to act rigidly to the plan and program that the doctor prescribes. So when a sick person diligently gets himself treated by an expert doctor, then if Allah Ta'ala wills, he will become healthy. This is the nizam of Allah Ta'ala. In other words, he was spiritually sick. He underwent the correct treatment. He went to the correct person. And now he'll become cured. Once he has become healthy, now he will be able to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is moderation in those powers that he had that Allah gave him. The carnal power, power of anger. His aqal will not be deficient. His aqal be kamil, perfect. And obviously he will then be spiritually strong and he will be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So likewise, through the blessing of keeping in contact with the spiritual guide, he will remain under his supervision. And if he becomes ill again, then he will be made aware of it so that he can turn his attention immediately towards the treatment. So it happens sometimes, you went to the doctor, you took the medication, you came right, you felt better. And after some time again, you felt ill again. So what do? You go back to the doctor. And I said, doctor, I'm not feeling too well. He said, okay, what did you do? Did you eat the wrong stuff? He says, I did this, I did that. So he'll put you back into that same medication, or he'll prescribe something stronger for you, so that you may become physically well again. The same way, a spiritual doctor will prescribe for you the right remedy for your spiritual sicknesses. So in short, success and failure and good and evil revolve around these two powers. All the problems and corruption in the world are as a result of these powers exceeding their limit. People commit oppression, they cheat, they take bribes, because the carnal power, the power of anger, have moved away from their place. Now a person is sick, there's no doctor, no medicine, so how will he get better? A sick person needs both observation of the doctor as well as medication. A healthy person should eat wholesome foods and abstain from poison. If a person is well, so he's not going to go to the doctor. A person is well, he's having good nourishment. He's not going to take medication for no purpose, for no reason. Likewise, but at the same time, he needs to abstain from poison and poisonous foods. Allah Ta'ala has guided us in this regard. All evil actions are poison. All evil actions are poison. All righteous works, that's nourishment. So spiritual nourishment by doing good deeds, amal salihah. You do amal which are bad, amal sayyi'ah, now you are putting poison and toxin in your body. So in a similar way, as Maulana explains, there are some poison for the body that's going to be harmful. For the physical body, there's poisons that's going to be harmful to the spiritual, to the soul. If a person carries out the compulsory acts, fara'id, we read fard salat, now may Allah accept our isha salat. That's a fard of Allah Ta'ala. So he carries out the compulsory acts as well as those things which are necessary, those things Allah Ta'ala made fard and wajib, compulsory, he carries that out. And also he does the sunnah, those things which are sunnah in sharia, he does that also. He does that which is nafil and mustahab, which are optional. So he'll be a very healthy person. He is exactly like a person who eats, we're talking about spiritually, he'll be healthy. Like a person who eats bread, he eats gravy, he eats rice. In addition to this, to these things, he also consumes fruit, milk, and other foods which are beneficial for his body, of course, in moderation. So he will have, he'll enjoy a good health. On the other hand, to understand the spiritual side, we have things which are haram, which are makruh, makruh tahrimi, makruh tanzihi. All these things are harmful to the person. It will decrease his reward. It will spoil the connection he has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are poison for his spiritual health. They are extremely harmful to his spiritual self. So the same thing applies to the person on one hand, as we said, optional acts, fara'id, wajibat, compulsory acts, sunnah acts, nafil, optional acts, these are all beneficial to the person. In the same way, he has to refrain from that which is haram and makruh. This is what we call spiritual dieting. So just as a person diets from the physical foods by eating in moderation, likewise, because otherwise he'll have an impact on his health, likewise, there are these boundaries and limitations for spiritual food as well. Now look at this. Sometimes a person, again, if he exceeds the limits, here we said the person is doing evil or he's not doing the fara'id and wajibat correctly. What about a person who says, well, tomorrow morning, fajr salah, for the sunnat, instead of reading, or instead of reading 2 rakats, fard of fajr salah, I'm going to need 4 rakats of fard. He's increasing the limit that Allah Ta'ala has placed for fard. So, if anyone says, so what will happen? Of course, 4 is not permissible. Only 2 is permissible. If anyone says that it is, that this is spiritual food, salat, fara'id is spiritual food, so why should I read 2? I'll read 4. This will not be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. In fact, it will be harmful to his spiritual self. Exactly. A person says, well, I'm going to fast on Eid day. Eid day Allah has made fasting haram. And he thinks, I fasted the whole of Ramadan, spiritually I'm feeling so boosted and connected and elevated. Now Eid day, no, I'm going to keep roza. Allah Ta'ala does not want us to keep roza on Eid day. So now he is not going to cause benefit to his spiritual self, but he'll cause harm to his spiritual soul. Exactly like we take in the case of a person who's sick, he goes to the doctor, prescribes, you must take this antibiotic or take this tablet 3 times a day. He feels, no, I'll be a bit more clever. I need to get quickly. So I will take, instead of three times a day, I'll take it 4 times a day or 5 times a day. There's an overdose. What happens? Then he'll go sick. He'll become sick again. So the amount of food for the body should be proportionate to the body's need, and the amount of food for the soul should be proportionate to the soul's requirement. This is the balance in Sharia. If a person is physically healthy, he's fit, he'll eat. He won't need any medication. If he becomes ill, he will eat, but he'll eat less. And sometimes he becomes more sick, he won't eat at all. Or he'll eat some food, but it will not be converted in anything beneficial for the body, because now he requires, besides the food, he requires medicine, which enables the food that he eats, which has entered his body, to become beneficial. Similarly, the same carnal power we're talking, the carnal desire, and the power of anger of a person, it exceeds the limit. He becomes spiritually sick. He will not be able to make use of spiritual food. He will not be able to perform those things which are wajib. If he somehow manages to fulfill those things which are fard, he won't have the courage to perform that which is wajib. If he does fulfill the necessary acts, okay, he does the fard, he does the wajib, but he won't have that himmat and courage to the sunnah. He'll discard the sunnah. He'll discard, if he does the sunnah somehow, then he won't be doing optional deeds. So a physically sick person has to force himself to eat some food, some bread, whatever it is. And if you tell him, have something more, at least have one more samosa, for example. He say, no, I don't feel like eating. The condition of a spiritually sick person is the same. If somehow he managed to perform his fard, someone says to him, brother, read your wajib. He says, no, I'm not feeling like reading wajib. Okay, if you read the wajib, read your sunnah. This is a beautiful act of Rasulullah. Do the sunnah. He says, no, I fulfill the compulsory acts. What's the need of doing sunnah now? Ma'adallah. So what has happened? He's spiritually sick. It is due to the spiritual sickness that he does not have the courage, the himmat to make use of the spiritual food. And if he's spiritually healthy, he'll do all those things. So either there is no desire for spiritual nourishment, or there is, but it's very minimal. So this is what Hazrat Maulana explained. I'm just giving you the gist of his entire bayan. And then he says, the reason is that together with nourishment of actions, this person, why is he spiritually sick? He may be doing some good deeds, he's doing his fard, he's doing his wajib, but with that he's also consuming that which is harmful to his body, he's taking in poison. So in other words, he's doing the faraid of deen, but together with that he's committing sins. He's displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Evil deeds are not going to be nutritious to his body. They're going to be poison to his body. On the one hand, he's done his faraid, he's done his wajibat. But because he's also doing sin and evil, what is happening? This is making him spiritually sick. And as he's becoming spiritually sick, nafil is far-fetched now. Sunnah also will be discarded. The more spiritually sick he becomes, he'll even leave out wajibat. And even more than he'll leave out the faraid. And therefore again, we go to the balance that is important. Now in order to create the desire for spiritual food, I want to read not only my fard, not only my wajib. Wajib, for example, witr we read. Is wajib. So I want to read my fard, my wajib, I want to read my sunnat, my nafil, and then the desire comes, I want to read my tahajjud also, I want to finish my qazai, umri also. So this desire to more and more, of course, within the limitations and boundaries. When he has all this, in order to create the desire for spiritual food, or to make the food which enters the body beneficial, there is a need for medicine. Whenever there is a need for medicine, there is a need for doctor as well. And that is why, as Imam says, we say to you that you need to connect yourself to have a spiritual allegiance with some doctor, spiritual doctor, who will guide you, who will provide for you this spiritual diet, this spiritual plan, this nourishment. You have to do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. So spiritual nourishment and remedies, they are absolutely important. One has to perform compulsory, necessary sunnah and preferred actions despite not wanting to do them. Likewise, he has to keep away from poison, and that is the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. This is the crux of tasawuf. And so what are the important things and essential things in tasawuf? One is mujahada. Now, in order for him to stay away and refrain from sins, and this is what we have been talking about from the years now, Allah give me tawfiq, give all of us tawfiq. This is what we require, is mujahada. In simple term, what is mujahada? You're exerting yourself, you're applying some pressure on your nafs, despite the fact that your nafs is not willing to refrain from that evil action. Your nafs is, you are moving towards, you're being tempted towards, your egos are being tempted towards an evil action. For example, casting a lustful glance at some woman, or doing some haram, or cheating, or deceiving, whatever it may be, or lying, or slandering some person, or making some ghibah, whatever it may be. Now you are going to apply pressure on your nafs and stop your nafs from moving in that wrong direction. This is what you call mujahada. So mujahada is vital. That is number one. So to perform good actions also, despite not feeling like doing Fajr Salah, tomorrow is even more early, I gotta wake up. Okay, I read it at home. See the nafs, the prompting of the nafs. Now for you to make sure you are there in the masjid for the menfolk, and to read your Fajr Salat with Jama'ah, Allah give me tawfiq, give all of us tawfiq, with istiqamat, you have to apply that mujahada. So you got to tell your mind all the time, Fajr Salah, Fajr Salah. Your mind, your nafs will tell you, okay, quite cold and things like that, and it'll give you 1,000 excuses. You have to combat all those excuses, and address your nafs at sometimes, and tell your nafs, don't play any games with me. I'm going to please my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not going to please you, because you, by following you and becoming your slave, I'm going to become spiritually sick. So this is what the person will have to do. He'll apply mujahada to perform good actions despite not feeling like doing them. To perform acts of worship, for this is the spiritual food, and to abstain from sin, which is the poison. And number two, person has to be punctual on one's daily actions of devotion. This is the medicine. So for example, we're reading our salat, and we're reading our tilawat of the Quran, we read our Yasin Sharif, our tasbihat, person has to be punctual on these things. And number three, the company of a spiritual guide. Sometimes you might have to go to the surgery, sometimes you might have to go to the hospital, sometimes you go to ICU. So of course Allah protects us from physical and spiritual sicknesses, but just by way of example, and like this in spiritually also, we go to consult, and the person has to be honest. Person has to be honest. Like you go to the doctor, you're sitting in front of him, you'll tell him, Doc, my stomach is paining, I've got a headache, or I've got a pain in my knee, or I'm not sleeping well. Then he'll ask you a few questions. Not that the doctor will just tell you from your face, unless he's so good and he's got very good experience, so he might be right certain times, but otherwise he'll ask the patient, what is wrong with you? He will make you go through some tests, some blood tests, urine tests, whatever it is, x-ray, scan. After seeing all that, then he will be able to determine exactly what your problem is. So you will have to be honest to him. You cannot hide. If a person is involved in an illicit relationship, the person has to be honest. And of course, the sheikh and the spiritual doctor has to be very sincere. He should not be a person who is going to reveal your weaknesses to public. Then he's not a good person. He's not a spiritual doctor. So you will have to confide in him. In other words, he will guide you, and he will make dua for you, and he will tell you, do this, don't do this. See, this is what you're doing, it's going to be very harmful to you. Until and unless a person does not explain clearly what his problem is, he's going to remain in the same position. Also, very important, whatever prescription the doctor gives you, we abide by it. Similarly, the spiritual doctor gives you his prescription, and you have to abide by it. That's why, as the Mullah said, you use the word diligently. And if you're not going to follow the diet plan he has given you diligently, you are not going to get cured. And again I said, Allah forgive me, forgive all of us, we're all weak, and we make these mistakes. But spiritually, look at our levels. So we have heard many talks, we have heard about the different remedies, and we have heard about all the maladies, and sometimes we heard in the talk an exact malady that was spoken about, and we are suffering from the same thing. And the ilaj, the remedy was shown also, so we know about it, well versed about it. Sometimes the person, he's a scholar himself, and he knows even the Arabic. But what is it that is still keeping him spiritually sick? He's not applying that mujahada. He's not following the plan diligently. He knows about it, but he's not doing it. And therefore, if we want to spiritually connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want the spiritual connection, we want to elevate ourselves, we want to be spiritually well and fit, then this is the thing, mujahada. Stay in the company of a pious person who will guide you. And of course, by no means I'm alluding to myself, I'm the worst person. And this is the people we go look for, the spiritual doctors. But of course, in the absence of a spiritual doctor, whatever, we are using their books and their kitabs, and we are trying to help our situation. But the point here is, you're going to find the right company. And for a person who will guide you, who is sincere, he has the worry and concern for you. And the medication that is prescribed. These are the three things a person has to do. Just one more thing, inshallah. And then we explain about mujahada. This mujahada is vital. When a person goes against his nafs, now he is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now spiritually he'll feel that light in his heart. And now Allah ta'ala will give him the himmat and courage to refrain from sins. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had explained in the hadith of Ihsan. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. This is a very high level. A very high level. As though you are worshipping, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ, you are worshipping Allah, كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ, as though you are seeing Allah in front of you. Imagine we are reading Salat, and you are reading Salat in that manner, as though you are seeing Allah Rabbul Izzat. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ, if you cannot feel and develop within yourself this feeling, that as though you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. I give the students example that you are sitting in front of the teacher. In front of the teacher. And you're writing examination. Would you cheat? Will you do anything wrong? Will you misbehave in the class? Why? Because you know that you are seeing the teacher. You can see the teacher. Like that. Of course, we cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. But you develop your condition to that level as though you are seeing Allah with your naked eyes. You cannot see Allah ta'ala with your naked eyes in this world. That we see in Allah in the hereafter. Allah give all of us a tawfiq. In this world, you develop yourself to that level as though you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you cannot develop that stage, then at least understand that Allah is watching you. فَإِلَّمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. Ulama have given two terminology, which one is called mushahada, is as though you are seeing Allah. And the other one is muraqaba. Muraqaba means you have that consciousness that Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. You go to the supermarket, they have a camera. So you're being watched. So you're conscious that people, that somebody is watching me. In a similar way, like when you go to Roza Mubarak, you're standing before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You cannot see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you know, you feel that he is watching me. You understood? In a similar way, yeah, you feel and you believe that, and this is the truth, this is the iman, that Allah is watching me. Now you develop yourself to that level that every moment of my life, not only in my salat, when I am in at work, when I'm in college, when in private, in privacy, at home, traveling abroad, wherever I am, with my friends, I'm alone, then as though I'm seeing Allah, or at least Allah is watching me, if we develop ourselves to that level, then inshallah we will be spiritually well and healthy. Otherwise, we are spiritually sick. And this is what we need to bring into our lives. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq and all of us tawfiq to spiritually bring ourselves to this level. Then when a person has this level, this feeling, as though he is seeing Allah, and he has this consciousness that Allah is watching him, then in everything of this world also, the creation of Allah, he will not just see it as a creation of Allah. He will see Allah in that creation. To understand this, Hazrat Mullah gives a beautiful example. And he says, the poet says, I went into the rose garden. And so every rose, I went into the garden, I looked at the flowers. All of the colors were different. Some were blue, others were pink, some were yellow, others were red. The fragrance and scent of each one was different. The colors of the flowers were different. The fragrances were all different. But in all the colors, I saw only you, O Allah. I saw your color. In all the fragrances, I perceive only your fragrance. I saw only you, Allah. So when the one who has attained this high level of ihsan, he looks at the flowers, he sees the creator of the flowers. He sees Allah in every atom of the universe. As the Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says, the color and smell of the world is your mirror. When I pick up my mirror and I gaze at it, I see my reflection in it. Every one of you will see your reflection in your mirror. It is obvious that in the mirror of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will be seen. What does it mean? In everything that he sees only Allah, Allah, Allah. And therefore, person becomes an ardent lover of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Wallahi ma tala'at shamsun wala gharabat illa wa anta fi qalbi wa waswasi. He says, by Allah, the sun does not rise nor set, except that you, Allah, are in my heart and my thoughts. Whenever I sit to talk to people, the topic of my discussion with them is only my Allah. Only you, Allah. وَلَا جَلَسْتُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ وَحَدِّثُهُمْ إِلَّا وَأَنْتَ حَدِيثِي بَيْنَ جُلَّاسِي. Let us put ourselves in this position. When we meet our friends, what is our topic of discussion? Do we only talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or everything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The love of Allah ta'ala, whether he's sitting with his friends alone, all the time, even when he's joking again, light-hearted, again he connects himself and the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever I intended to drink water out of thirst, I see your reflection in the glass. So in everything, the poet says, وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ آيَةٍ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٍ. In everything of this world, there is a sign that Allah, He alone is the one Allah. So this is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person will get that type of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he applies that mujahada. And that mujahada is a prerequisite in this path. Like we are all traveling and we have to apply this mujahada to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. Those who strive for our sake and make this mujahada, we will definitely show them our paths, we will guide them our paths. Those who strive and make mujahada for the sake of Allah, of our love and to please us, Allah says, we will open for them many roads through which they can reach us. When it seems difficult to abstain from a sin, sometimes one has to make an immediate decision and there's no way of contacting the spiritual guide, then to Allah will inspire this person. Why? Because he applied the mujahada. Now he needs to make a decision. Now he can't contact that alim or sheikh. Allah will inspire him with that which is correct. Suddenly he is tempted with some evil. He was a good person, made mujahada right through. He followed the prescription, he took the medication. And now Allah comes to his rescue. Because he's the love of Allah. Allah protects him from the sin. May Allah ta'ala give me tawfiq and all of us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.